Ready, bye.
American leak detection.
Here's Dave.
Thank you.
Hey, Dave.
Well, we've talked a lot in recent months about Dean Potter and Alex Honnold.
Hell yeah.
The Dark Wizard and his
protege.
I guess, heir apparent.
Yes. Heir apparent that smashed every record that he ever set.
Yeah. And so those are certainly extreme climbers, but they are the sheer face climbers.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about climbers at Everest,
mm-hmm.
because that is more of an endurance exercise than a mountain climbing exercise in many respects.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And so there are two things that I want to tell you. One is a story that will put the picture in the frame. The second story is the outstanding human achievement part.
Okay.
All right.
So we all know about the Sherpas.
Yes.
So the Sherpas, they were mostly yak herders and traders in the Himalayas until Nepal opened its borders in the 50s. And then because they knew the...
What are we doing? Ham playing drops of Bob eating a chip.
Disrespectful.
So the Sherpas, when Nepal was opened in the 50s, because they were so familiar with the territory, they realized, well, hey, we can just guide these climbers and get paid for it.
The most famous being Tenzing Norgay, the guy that went up there first with Sir Edmund Hillary.
Yes. And so this May, more than 1,000 climbers and their guides scaled Everest.
Everest has lost its luster.
Right. And that was the biggest climbing season ever at Everest. And of those 1,000, 5 people died. So it is still, even though the shine is off.
Yeah.
And it's
still dangerous as hell.
It's still,
you can get wiped off that mountain in a bad storm. As, you know, the documentary that's incredibly famous, the Dr. Beck Weathers from here, that lost nose, feet, teeth, everything.
Yes. Well, so the first story is of a Nepali guide, a Sherpa, who was believed to have died, to be one of the dead. They thought there were 6 dead in this climbing season. And he was found crawling to base camp a week after he went missing.
Whoa.
His name is Dawa Sherpa. I guess they're all last name Sherpa. I don't know.
No.
Jim Sherpa.
Sherpa's not their name. But that's what they're identified as?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also known as Hillary Dawa Sherpa, after Edmund Hillary.
There you go.
So he was last seen on May 29th, but he didn't reach base camp with the other climbing groups. And a fellow climber said, well, I last saw him around the death zone, which is where...
sounds daunting.
Yeah, which is where the oxygen levels get so low that it's insufficient for human survival. You can't be up there for long without supplemental oxygen. And so they sent out a helicopter rescue team to try and find him, 52-year-old guy. They can't find him. And so his wife and daughter had already begun funeral rituals. They thought he was dead. And they were a couple days into the like week-long funeral ritual that they have when someone passes. And a climbing support team found him as he's crawling down the snowy slopes around the Khumbu Icefall just above the base camp.
How many days after he was reported missing?
A week.
Oh, my God.
He was out there by himself for a week. So, but he only had frostbite on his hands and appeared to otherwise be in good health. So it was a miracle that he survived. So they took him by helicopter to Kathmandu, and that's where he met with his wife and daughter, and they were overjoyed because they thought he was dead.
Yeah.
So I tell you that, one, it's an amazing story of survival, but two, the fact that even a Sherpa can die climbing Everest.
What was the Krakauer book?
Into thin air.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So that brings me to the story of Tyler Andrews, an American, a cancer survivor, and a professional ultra runner.
Oh.
And so he's been preparing 6 years and had multiple attempts over multiple climbing seasons to chase his goal on Mount Everest. And so what was his goal? To be the fastest to the peak. Because he's an ultra marathoner. Yeah. He's in incredible shape. Now, he was using supplemental oxygen. So he did have that advantage.
Tainted a little, yeah.
But he said that, so this is verified. He did set the speed record. Well, first of all, 4 days before he set the record, he had to abandon an attempt because of logistical and weather issues. A storm blew through. And he was on a record pace, and he was only 400 meters below the summit, but he had to turn back because the weather was so bad. So then 4 days later, he tries again, and he reaches Everest summit from base camp in 9 hours, 55 minutes, and 43 seconds.
Damn.
This took place
on
May 28th. So it was a new speed record. And so he departed Everest base camp at 7:11 p.m., on May 27th, and reached the summit at 5:06 a.m. the following morning. So that broke the previous record of 10 hours, 56 minutes, and 46 seconds set by Lhapkapa Gelu Sherpa in 2003.
Nailed it.
Fred Sherpa.
Yeah.
And so he said, you don't just need to be super fit to do this. You need cooperation from the mountain, the weather, the crowds. Everything has to align because things can get bottlenecked. Like you said, there's so many people on the mountain. Like you're stuck behind a slow climber and you're like, get out of the way. Like you're in the fast lane on the highway.
No, thank you. It doesn't hold the same allure. I mean, that does, obviously. But it was such a, oh, my God. I mean, it was the... It was a colloquialism, like, yeah, it's easier to climb Everest than to blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But now 1,000 people doing it in a season, like, it's lost its allure. It's weird.
He also set the record for fastest round trip. So he went to the peak in, 9 hours, 55 minutes, 43 seconds. Then he immediately headed back to base camp. He made it. Round trip in 16 hours and 32 minutes, which was nearly 2 hours faster than the previous record.
It's badass.
And so this was an 18-mile climb, more than 12,000 feet of elevation. And it's a journey that typically takes between 5 and 7 days. And he did it
in less than a day.
Less than a day, round trip.
Did this just happen?
Yeah. This was on May 27th.
Damn.
And May 28th, overnight.
Isn't the final, like, 2 weeks of May, that's the window every year?
Yeah.
Yeah, when the weather is the most ideal.
Yeah.
And think about that. 1,000 people did it this season, or last season or whatever, and how many of those were on the mountain at the same time?
Right.
Like, oh, it's a line, it seems like.
Yeah.
From what I've heard.
And we had
Did you say the success percentage?
No, I don't have that
okay.
here.
Okay. Like, how many make it to the top?
How many actually make it to the summit? I don't know. Now, Andrews has more than 100 world records, so he's just adding to his total. This is obviously the most impressive.
Is he, like, one of the best ultra-marathon runners ever?
Yeah, so his world records are across mountains, roads, and trails all around the world. And when they asked him what is going to be next, what do you want to accomplish next? And he said, well, I still want to do Everest again without supplemental oxygen this time, to beat my own record without oxygen. But he said, I think I need a break from Everest for now.
I would think so. 6 years he trained for this?
Yeah.
Wow. Can you imagine?
Sounds pretty awesome.
I mean, it is, but 6 years of training? Yeah. Into Thin Air, book and movie.
Do you think he trained like Mino, climbing the...
the jungle gym?
The little jungle gym. Every day.
Into Thin Air, the movie, the book, and the documentary that was made about, all of them are spectacular. And it came out like in the 90s, like from what I remember, the incident happened in the 90s. But yeah.
And if you go on like YouTube, you can find like aerial shots like above the clouds of the peak of Everest and just seeing the storms blow through.
Yeah.
and just how the summit is the only thing peaking above the clouds. It's incredible.